Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of Matthew. The Gospel record of Matthew in Matthew in chapter number 26. The Gospel record of Matthew in chapter number 26. We are finishing up our series of the 12 disciples. With this, we've been taking a character study and looking at these 12 ordinary men that the Lord Jesus Christ chose to use as part of his disciples. May I remind you as we go to the last one that God had a plan for each and every one of them. And he knew all about them before choosing them. None of them caught them by surprise. The Lord Jesus knew about Peter and his foot and mouth disease. He knew about him. He knew about some of the doubts that some of the disciples would have. He knew their personalities. And he chose them anyways because each one of them had a purpose. And he had a desire for them to do well. We now come to the last disciple and probably the most infamous of all disciples that even people who have no Bible background know who Judas Iscariot is. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we read part of the Last Supper in the Gospel record of Matthew chapter number 26. The Gospel record of Matthew chapter 26, and notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 19. The Gospel record of Matthew chapter 26, and notice with me in verse 19. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto him. Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It has been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said it. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the Gospel record of Matthew 26? The Gospel record of Matthew 26, so notice with me verse 25, where it says, Then Judas, which betrayed him. Then Judas, which betrayed him. And with the Lord's help, we're going to learn about Judas the betrayer. We're going to learn about his life, and we're going to see some of the warnings from his life. Judas, the betrayer. Then Judas, which betrayed him. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, Lord, we're just asking that you would give us great wisdom and great discernment. We're asking that there would be liberty with your Holy Spirit to speak to hearts, to draw them close. That you would settle down and get rid of any distractions, anything that would keep us from paying attention to you, whether it's things at home or things abroad, things for later. Lord, whatever they are, set them aside, that your Holy Spirit can have free reign in the hearts and lives of people, people that need it, people that you care for, people that you could see that are on the brink. Lord, draw them close to you and let them see what a wonderful Savior that you are. Lord, I recognize I have no strength in myself, no physical ability, no mental ability, no skill in, to orate, to speak, to get across your message. But your Holy Spirit can get that all accomplished, so the best I know how, I surrender to you and ask that you get your own work accomplished, that you would do your own work. Lord, be with my throat, be with my mind, be with the clarity. Let it be clear. and that you would really help people to take things seriously. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So many times when people look at Judas Iscariot, he's one of the easy ones to look at and point and say, look, you're messed up. You're wrong. You notice it's so easy to point out everyone else's sin. And when you look at someone who's wrong, you feel better about yourself and you stop looking at yourself. Notice, if you don't mind, two phrases that's in here that I want you to take note of. Notice in verse number 21, and we'll read into it. And as they did eat, this is the 12 disciples, he, Jesus, said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they, the 12, were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? If you're in the habit of marking things, mark that phrase, is it I? Then notice in verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said unto him, Master, is it I? Twice we have this with all 12 of them, not just the traitor, but all 12 of them asking themselves this honest question, is it I? You know, once again, it is very easy to point to someone and say, that's clearly a betrayer. But you understand, we're going to look at some things that Jesus Christ had did in the life of Judas Iscariot that he has done in your life, and yet you're not as close to him as you should be. This should be something all of us say, is it I? This should be something that we're not looking at other people, that we're looking at ourselves and trying to discern for ourselves, is it I? Do you know that it is possible to be near Jesus and associate with him closely and yet be hardened to him? Your heart could be hardened. You could go to a church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, you could teach a Sunday school class. You could even pray. You could even read your Bible and your heart be hardened. And in that hardened condition, you're capable of anything. Just being away from the Lord. Is it I? As we dive through and look at the life of Judas Iscariot, let's start off with the art of deception. The art of deception. Judas hailed from a city, a little village called Kinnereth, which is a town on the southern border of Judah, which is what his name comes from. Iscariot means a man from Kinnereth. Unlike the other 11 disciples who hailed from Galilee, Judas was the only one from the Judea area. Because of that, the Jewish people who came from Judea always considered themselves to be true-blooded Jews. True-blooded. We are God's true people. Sure, there's other Jews out there, but they're not as good as us. We are from Judah. Jews from Judah. And so because of this, many of the other people, Jews from Judah, always looked at the Galileans as backwood country folk. So when Judas joined their merry band, he says, I'm the only true Jew in the midst of all these backwoods people. Of course they need me. They need someone like me to guide them the way, to show them what true Jews look like. Judas probably looked more refined compared to these other fishermen. The one thing that he lacked was the close association with Jesus prior to this. That many of the other disciples had a passing relationship with Jesus, some of them as where they were growing up, they knew about Jesus. They went to his carpenter shop. Some of them had family relations with him some way or another. Judas Iscariot was always separate. He had never met these people beforehand. This has also allowed him to hide his traitorous nature. He was able to hide it because these people did not know him. They didn't know his character. They didn't know what he was like. And it made it easier for him to deceive them by putting on a good show, by putting on a good front. You know, everyone's pretty good at doing a salesman version. You say, nah, I'm honest at all things. You remember when you were dating gentlemen and you actually took a shower and combed your hair and you smiled, you brushed your teeth before meeting her, put in a breath mint. and you put on a salesman for it. You try to make yourself look good. Then when you got her, you forgot all that stuff. You forgot how to clean your room, pick up your socks, brush your hair, brush your teeth. You just kind of, whatever. You put on a salesman version. Everyone puts on a salesman version. When you go for a job interview, you don't walk in like you usually are. You actually kind of look nice. Or at least hopefully you look nice. You dress up. You're trying to sell yourself. Trying to put on the best you so they purchase your skills, right? You're selling yourself. Well, there are some people who are pretty good at doing a salesman version 24/7. Meaning when you come to church, you are a completely different person than what you are at home. You may have people fooled. Oh, look, what a nice Christian. And then if we were to ever see you at home, we're like, who in the world is this devil? That's not the person I know at church. That's not how they behave at church. That's not how they speak at church. Who is this person? Salesman version. The art of deception. You say, these people don't know me. I can show up and I could fake it for Sunday school and a church service. I could make it look like I'm spiritual when you are so far away from God. The art of deception. Now, while Scripture doesn't document Judas's call, it's very apparent that he willingly followed after Christ. But his motivations were not spiritual. His motivations were always in personal gain. So from his perspective, here is Jesus who is claiming, and by others claiming, he's going to be the king of the world. Well, hey, if I could get in with the king before he's king, yeah, this is great. I'm going to hitch my wagon up to him. I am going to be better off by being associated with the future king. Let's do that. Oh, this is the Messiah, the promised one. Well, definitely, if I hook myself up and become, I get to be one of his closest. So he chose me. Oh, this is going to be great. That he is going to, they're going to let me be treasurer. You see, that's how much of a deceiver he was. They trusted him with the money. He became the treasurer. You always have to watch out for the church treasurer, by the way. That he got to keep the money. That's a very important position. Because his job was not only to receive it, but his job was to delegate. So this helped his salesman version. This helped his reputation. Oh, little widow woman, let me give you some money to help show you how we are. Oh, thank you, Judas. Thank you, Judas. He loved that. He looked good to the community. It wasn't his money, by the way. It's very easy to give away someone else's money. So he's got the bag. He's the treasure. He collects it. Oh, thank you for giving alms to Jesus. Thank you for giving to Jesus. I'll make sure it's well taken care of. Thank you so much. Put some here for later on. Oh, here you go. Jesus cares for you. Thank you, Judas. He looked good. He loved this job. The art of deception. He had everyone fooled. He had the disciples fooled. When he left the Last Supper, they just assumed that he was going to go do something with the treasury. Oh, Jesus told him to go pick something up. They thought nothing of it. That even to the very end, they did not ever suspect Judas. Well, Judas is a Jew. He's a full-blooded Jew. He's from Judea. He's the one we trust with the bag. He's the one everyone likes. Oh, look at what he says around Jesus. Look at how he carries himself. The art of deception. How is it that people can start betraying Jesus Christ? When you start to pretend to be something you are not. By the way, that's where that word hypocrite comes from. The word hypocrite comes from the same word we get our word actor. They're playing a part. Judas was not spiritual, but he made everyone think. He was a good actor. You could have given this guy an Emmy. He fooled everyone. He didn't fool Jesus. But he fooled Peter. He fooled John. He fooled all of the spiritual disciples. None of them saw it coming. He was in a leadership position. He looked like he was close to Jesus, but his heart was so far away. You know, many people can play a part in a church. Deacons can play a part. I cannot tell you over the years how many times a deacon got saved. They all need to get saved. I mean, they were a full-blown deacon helping the church, and they came to say, you know what, I'm not saved. I need to get this fixed. Amen. Part of my wife's testimony started from an evangelist wife. They had been on the evangelism trail for a while. My wife thought she was perfect, but came back one day and said, you know what, I just got saved. My wife just said, what? And it made her question her salvation. Am I really saved? Is it I? So many people play a part. There's so many people who don't get saved inside of a church because they say, what would people think of me? They've been thinking I've been saved the whole time. The art of deception. They've got everyone fooled, and sometimes they get to the place where they said, I can't drop my part. I can't lower my guard because I don't want people to think any different than what I really am. The art of deception. With that, we also see contempt for a Savior. Contempt for his Savior. Judas's outward demeanor towards Christ was superficial respect. Excuse me. However, he never hesitated to give lip service to Jesus. He would address him as you go through the Bible. Remember, I love the study of the names of God. When Judas addressed Jesus, he would always call him rabbi or teacher. He would never call him Lord or Master. Jesus, you're just my teacher, but you are not the boss of me. You are not my master. You are not my Lord. You see, there's a distance there in relationship. Lord, I recognize you are a great teacher, but don't tell me what to do. So many people like that. I cannot tell you over the years, preacher, we love your preaching, but if you get rid of that invitation, you'll get a lot more people coming. We don't want to make a decision. We just want the information. No, you need to make the decision. What are you going to do with this? And when you just get to the place of having a teacher and not allowing Jesus to be your master, you're already so far away from him. And you need to get that relationship fixed. Judas got away with it because it looked reverent. Yes, rabbi. Yes, great teacher. Oh man, this Judas, he really likes Jesus. But he would never call him Lord. Never call him master. The art of deception. All it's showing is his contempt for Jesus. He never trusted Jesus. He never allowed Jesus to be the boss of me. He had the formalities right, but there was a distinct lack of genuine reverence and submission from his heart. Despite his close proximity to Jesus and his teachings and his miracles, Judas never grasped the significance that Jesus was God. And his relationship with Jesus was purely transactional, meaning I'm only hooking my wagon up to you because I'm getting something out of it. I'm not doing it because you're God, because you're Jesus, because you even care for me. There was a lack of authentic faith and reverence. In fact, let's look at three different ways that Judas had contempt for Jesus, that he just ignored Jesus. We see his disregard for the Lord's miracles. Disregard for the Lord's miracles. You know, Judas saw all the miracles of Christ. Pretty much all the miracles of Christ. Day after day, he saw miracles, from turning water into wine to the raising of dead. Judas was witnessed firsthand all the miracles that Jesus had. The biblical accounts say, according to John, that only a fraction, a small amount of the miracles that Jesus did was there. If we wrote down everything that Jesus did, we wouldn't have enough books to contain it. That means Judas saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. But you know why they never affected Judas? Because they never were personally for him. He got nothing out of it. Ah, so what? This widow woman got her son raised. That's cool. Doesn't do anything for me. Feeding the 5,000, that's good for them. Doesn't do anything for me. Oh, this lame man walks again. Great, wonderful. Hey, that blind guy, he gets to see. Great, wonderful. But it didn't affect me any. Doesn't do anything for me. I didn't get anything out of it. He was able to ignore the miracles because it didn't have anything to do with him. He didn't get anything to gain from it. It didn't elevate his status. In fact, he would often scratch his head. Why is it that Jesus, if he had all this power, how come he didn't use it to better himself? Why didn't he do it to better his position? Why are we still sleeping outside when we could be sleeping in palaces? We could be taken care of. We could have servants. Look at all the things he could have done. It doesn't help me out any. I'm still roughing it with the Lord. Doesn't help me at all. Jesus's miracles had no impact on Judas Iscariot because he was selfish, self-centered. It didn't affect me, so why should I care? Do you know that Jesus's miracles gave authority that Jesus was God? How can someone see that? Because it doesn't affect me. It's not about me. It doesn't help me. So why should it bother? The art of deception here, we could see his contempt for the Lord, just disregarding. Jesus did all these miracles. Not for me. Didn't help me out. So what? Can you imagine to be so hard and so callous to see all these miracles and none of it move him? Not only did he disregard the Lord's miracles, he had disrespect for the Lord's teachings. He got to be there for every one of Jesus's messages. The Sermon on the Mount, the Olivet Discourse. Jesus delivered captivating parables. He gave significant, profound sermons. He had insightful conversations with people that left a lasting impression on all that heard him, except for Judas. Even Jesus' adversaries said that never a man spake like this man. Even when the enemies of Jesus said, wow, this guy, no one teaches like him, Judas says, it's all right, I'm used to it. Not a big deal. Doesn't move me. I don't care. Can you imagine having the privilege of listening to Jesus' words over and over and over? And not moving. No wonder we should do like the disciples. Is it I? May I ask you, how many miracles have you seen since you've been at this church as God has answered prayers and God has worked and God has supplied? Doesn't matter to me. Is it I? How many messages have you heard from the Bible that have been preached clearly? No big deal. When others are clearly moved and their lives are changed, if we ask people in here, what is it that changed? The preaching of God's word. Amen. And it wasn't because of the preacher, it's because of God's word. To be able to hear God's word and respond to it. Not for me. It's nice. Sounds good. I'm entertained by it. Not for me. He disrespected the Lord's teachings. Could you imagine to hear Jesus teach himself and not be moved, not to hear, not to be affected by it? Is it I? How many times people show up to church and hear messages over and over and over and never do anything with it? Disregarding the Lord's teachings. You understand, here is Judas, who is the great actor. The art of deception has fooled everyone. I'm a great Christian. I'm a great follower from the Lord. And yet won't let Jesus tell him what to do. Doesn't care about the answers to prayer and miracles. Not a big deal to me. I don't need it. I'm fine. Here's the word of God over and over. Not for me. I'm not going to do anything with it. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Judas wasn't ignoring Jesus' teachings. In fact, as Jesus was getting closer to the cross, Judas was getting a lot more alarmed. Because Jesus would say, boys, come here. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I am going to be put on the cross and I'm going to die. Judas is saying, I just hitched my wagon to this guy. I thought he was going to be king. I'm associate. I'm one of his 12. And he's going to go die on the cross. I need to bail out of this thing. Judas heard those words. He says, I need to get under this. People know who I am. For years, I made sure I was close to Jesus. Now he's going to go die on the cross. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to string up everyone who's close to him. I don't want this. He was getting more and more alarmed, more and more panicked, more and more, what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of this? You see, he did pay attention to Jesus' words. It wasn't that he didn't hear them, just not for me, until he started hearing something that was affecting him. Jesus is going to die on the cross. Guess who's next? I need to bail from this ship. I need to look for any way to get out. And he started to look for ways out. He started to realizing that, you know what? I need to find some way to get off of this, to protect myself. That's where he started to meet with the Pharisees and say, what if I gave him to you? You see, the Pharisees had a problem. They could not arrest Jesus in public, and they didn't know where Jesus was going to be privately. So Judas shows up and says, hey, I could tell you, I know a schedule. I could tell you where no one's going to be at, no crowds, just him and his disciples. And I could tell you right where he's going to be and when he's going to be. And they said, let's do it. You see, he was so close to Jesus, he could betray him. Isn't it a shame that you know so much about the Lord that you know what he's going to do next? And it doesn't move you. Lord, is it I? Not only did Judas disregard Jesus' miracles, not only did he set apart Jesus' teachings, he had a disdain for Jesus' warnings. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, right? And do you think because Jesus was a loving God that he didn't try to warn Judas? And he did over and over and over. Jesus would point out, he would hint. In fact, let me show you John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Jesus here is already declaring that he is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is God. Notice if you don't mind, in verse number 64. John chapter 6 and verse 64. Judas is here. And I want you to see Jesus giving a warning, a hint to Judas Iscariot. Notice with me, John chapter 6 and verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. That's pretty pointed, right? Hey, there's some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning whom they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he, Jesus, said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it was given to him my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So Jesus said, remember, he had a big mass of people following him. After Jesus said that, there was a bunch that bailed. They're realizing, oh, Jesus is going to die. We're unhitching our wagon. They took off. Well, Judas is stuck. He's one of the 12. Jesus then looks at the 12, verse 67. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now Judas is there. He's part of the 12. He heard this. Verse 68, then Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Judas probably heard the first one, where should we go? And he's like, I don't know where I'm going to go. Or if after hooking my wagon up to Jesus, what else could I do? This is bad. Verse 69, Peter still speaking, "And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, Judas hasn't betrayed Jesus yet. He hasn't gone to the Pharisees. He hasn't stepped out. This is still before all of this happens. Jesus is giving him a warning. Can you imagine Jesus looking in the eyes and said, "One of you is going to betray me"? And he's looking straight at Judas, and Judas is staring back like, "Not going to be me. Putting on a fake. I'm good. Not me. I don't know what you're talking about." Deep in his heart, he's like, "Oh no, stop looking at me. Stop looking at me." Do you know this was a warning? Jesus says, "I know you're going to betray me." You'd almost think someone in their right mind would say, "You know what? Maybe I should stop what I'm doing. Maybe I should rethink this." Not Judas. He heard the warnings. He heard how close he was to falling off. He was still salvageable. Nope. He disregarded the Lord's warnings. Even after Jesus stared at him and pointed to him that he was going in this path of destruction. And Jesus was brokenhearted at the time. He could see where Judas was going. He can see where the path he was headed to. He could see what was going to happen to his life. And he's lovingly warning him, "Please don't go down there. Please fix now. Please adjust." Jesus, is it I? Is it I? How many people are warned over and over, the path that you're on is going to lead to destruction. The path that you're headed is going to destroy you. The path you're headed is going to affect your family. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Disregarding his warnings. Which brings us to the last thing, the tragic path of destruction. Judas's tragic path of destruction was marked by a series of pivotal moments that each time he had a time to repent, an opportunity to repent and turn from his sinful path. Isn't it a wonderful God that he puts up warnings and barriers in our way to keep us from sin? And Judas leaped over each one of those barriers without even thinking. As we come back to Matthew 26, back at the Last Supper, Jesus had warned him before. He's warned him a couple times. Now they're at the Last Supper. And one last warning. Notice with me in verse 21, Matthew 26, in verse 21. "And as they did eat, Jesus said, 'Verily I say unto you, that one of you should betray me.'" Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew it was imminent. And he asked them, "Listen, I know what you're going to do. This is your chance." The rest of the disciples got the hint. Verse 22, "And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, 'Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?'" None of the disciples suspected Judas. All of them were looking at themselves. Is it I? Is it I? Do I have the capability of betraying Jesus? Well, how close are you? Not how close do you project your image, but how close are you? Are you close to him and his word? Have you been listening to his warnings? Have you been noticing his miracles and watching a God up in heaven? Do you allow him to be your master, or is he just a good teacher? Lord, is it I? Do I have the potential of betraying Jesus? They weren't looking at the scumbag of the room. They didn't even know it. They were considering, is it I? Is it I? Verse 23. "And he answered and said, 'He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it were written of him, but woe unto that man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It'd been good for that man that he had not been born.'" What a warning! Could you imagine planning on betraying Jesus when he says it'd be better for you not to be born than to do what you're going to do? And the guy's like, I'm fine. Jesus does not mean it. I make my own destiny. Nobody can tell me what's going to happen. I can do it myself. I'm smarter than Jesus. I'm smarter than God. And he says, it'd be better for you not to be born than to do what you're going to do. You'd almost think someone in their rational mind would say, you know what? Maybe I should reevaluate this. But you understand, when you're already away from God in his word and away from God in prayer, that this type of warning doesn't affect. I joke sometimes that I want to put cameras up. Because in a message like this, I can look at people's face. And I can see who's genuinely saying, Lord, is it I? And I can look at others that look miserable, but not going to do anything about it. Countenance. You know, Jesus is looking straight at Judas and he goes, I know what you're going to do. And Judas is like, okay, cool. Do something different. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I feel bad, but you know, got to do what I got to do. There's no change. There's nothing. People who are close to Jesus, they take it seriously. Is it I? Is it I? Notice it wasn't until Jesus is staring at Judas, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said to him, Thou hast said. Yep, you're right. You guessed right. That didn't do anything. You know, people who've gotten so far from Jesus, you could say, listen, you're fixing to betray Jesus. And you're like, okay. You know how frustrating that is to see where people are headed? And to see that no effect when they're even being confronted about how much of dangerous ground they're on? The only reason why he said, is it I, is because Jesus is staring at him. Is it me? Jesus says, I know it's you. Okay, cool. You'd almost think someone would be brokenhearted and cry and look at Jesus and say, you know what was in my heart? I'm so sorry, Lord. I need to fix this. I'm going to tell you what I was going to do. You think the rest of his disciples would be shocked, but don't they think they'd be glad for Judas to get it right? Nope. Is it I? You know it is. Okay. You're so far away from God. I know. You're headed to destruction. I'm good. You imagine how heartbreaking that was for Jesus. To look at him and to try to beg him one last time. And you know, Judas could have gotten right. Judas could have gotten things fixed. So, he goes on. Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives. We have it recorded, the conversation he had with the 11 and John chapter 13 through 17. Judas isn't there, and nobody thinks different of it. Judas must be doing errands for Jesus. Judas must be taking care of something. Interesting to note, Judas has already left before the official Last Supper where Jesus said, take, eat of my bread, which is my body broken for you. Take, drink of this cup, which is my blood that was shed for you. Judas was gone from that. He wasn't part of that assembly. He was already gone. So Judas, while the rest of the disciples are being taught, as Jesus takes them to the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus begins to pray, Judas goes back and says, all right, it's time. I'm going to lead you to where he's at. And the person that I kiss, you know that's Jesus. Judas is going to plan on betraying Jesus with a kiss, not an accusation. Even then, he is trying to pretend he's Jesus's friend while he's in the active art of deceiving and betraying Jesus. Pick it up with me if you don't mind. Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse number 47. Verse 46, Jesus 45. Let's get a good running start. Matthew 26, verse 45. Then cometh he, Jesus, to his disciples and saith unto him, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is, present tense, betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he, Judas, came to Jesus and said, hail, Master. Now notice, when he's using the word master, he's not saying you're the boss of me. He's now saying it in such a way which is condescending. Master. Oh, this is the guy. He's still putting on a show. And kissed him. Now, may I pause? We see the harmony of the gospel records. When Jesus is praying, he's praying so fervently and so heatedly that the capillaries inside of his skin have burst and mixed into the sweat glands, and he has sweat great drops of blood. You know, when Judas kissed Jesus, Judas had on his lips the very same blood that would have taken away his sins even then. You know how close he was to redemption? He actually had the taste of Jesus' redeeming blood on his lips, and it did nothing for him. Nothing. You know, Judas was still that close to being saved that at any time it could have washed away all of his sins if he would have just let it. It wasn't too far gone. Even now, at the zero hour, he could have turned to God and repented of his sins and been washed clean. Instead, verse 50, Jesus said unto him, friend. Notice what Jesus calls him. Friend. You know, Jesus was still never against Judas Iscariot. Even now, there was a wholehearted, honest offer to take Judas, to forgive him of his sins. Even though he is currently present tense in the act of betraying him, Jesus called him friend with an honest connotation. Friend, I'll take you now. I'll still take you. No matter what you just did, I still want to be your friend if you would allow me. I'd be your savior even now, if you allowed me. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they laid hands on Jesus and took him. They arrested Jesus. They put him on a false trial. In a matter of hours, Jesus was hanging on a cross to shed the rest of his blood for you and for me. That same redeeming blood that Jesus had on his face when Judas kissed him, that same blood is the same blood that redeemed us, bought us, purchased our price from the slave market of sin. That same blood is what washed me clean. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ, it's what washed you clean. And yet Judas had it on his lips and it did nothing. You say, what happened to Judas? Well, notice with me in Matthew 27. Notice with me in verse 1. And when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Now, this is not a repent that led to a change of behavior. This is that he felt guilty about it. He just led an innocent man who was always good to him, who called him friend at the very last. He is feeling guilty, but not convicted. He is not repenting of his sins. He's repenting that, oh man, I messed up. He's sorry he got caught rather than sorry that he did it. He repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver, By the way, we learned this morning that 30 pieces of silver is the common price of a slave. Judas betrayed Jesus for the common price of a slave. That's how much it took to betray Jesus Christ. The price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. That was his price. That's all it took for him to betray Jesus Christ. Something small, something insignificant. What does it take for you to betray Jesus? Verse number 4, saying, I have sinned that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is it to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Why did he hang himself? Because he's a person without hope. Did he have no hope? He could have still, even then, trusted Jesus to forgive him of all of his sins. Instead, he chose just to end it all, which was not an end of all. There's an eternal life afterwards. And then as soon as someone dies, you go to a wonderful place called heaven, or you go to an awful place called hell. You say, is he in hell? Yes, because he never trusted Christ as his Savior. It wasn't that he trusted Christ and then fell back. He had never trusted Christ. He acted and pretended the whole time. He was 3 years inside of a church. What is a church? An assembly of people together for a common purpose. Jesus started the first church with his disciples. He was 3 years in church in a leadership position and never was saved. You understand, we are still so close. Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? What more does God have to do to prove himself to you faithful? He has performed so many miracles. So many of you have answers to prayer and things that God has done in your life. So many of you have heard the preaching of God's word. And it's changed your life because of the preaching of God's word. God's word has power. Some of you have heard the warnings over and over. Is it I? Is it I? How many of you are playing a part? No one knows your heart but you and the Lord. You say, I got everyone fooled. I got the pastor fooled. Everyone thinks how spiritual I really am. And you're not. And you know it. And you're tired of playing a part. It's a heavy burden to play a part. Is it I? Is it I? Let me tell you, the answer is to return to Jesus, to get close to him and stay close to him in heart, so you can never be at the place to betray the Lord. Is it I? Is it I? Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God, a God who truly loves us more than we could ever understand. And you've proven it to us time and time again. And Lord, sometimes we do play games with you. We put on a show for others, and we know that our hearts are so far away. That we've learned what we're supposed to do. This is when we stand up. This is when we sit down. This is where we hold our Bible. This is where we say some religious saying. This is where we smile and say, I'm blessed. We've learned how to play a part, but there's no heart behind it. We're putting on a play for the world. And we're so far away. Lord, sometimes we don't even realize how close we truly are to betraying you, to walking away from you, selling you out, and saying, I've got a better plan. This isn't working for me. I got to do something else. Is it I? Is it I? It's so easy to look for someone who's clearly in sin and say, I'm not as bad as them. But the disciples didn't do that. They reflected in themselves, knowing there's a close reality. Is it I? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.